The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Let's begin today by asking a question. Which of these has the greatest authority in our lives? Human philosophy, reasoning, tradition, scientific fact, the internet, or biblical truth, that is, the Word of God. So we need to ask ourselves, can we, and by we, I mean you and me, can we emphatically answer that God's Word has the greatest authority in our lives, affecting every area, every decision of our lives? You see, brethren, the Word of God has many who twist it, many who mock it, malign it, hate it, reject it, and others who just simply ignore it. Yet, the thing is, none of these approaches to the Word of God will ever destroy it. I'm going to be giving several bullets throughout this sermon today, and when I have another bullet, I will say the next bullet. It is the Word of God that is able to make us wise unto salvation. So is the Word of God important to us? Absolutely. It's the thing that makes us wise into salvation, unto salvation. Please go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child, Paul is writing to Timothy, and that you from a child, Timothy, that you have known the Holy Scriptures, and he obviously is referring to the Old Testament by this time, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So he is tying the Old Testament together with the New Testament. You have to have them both. In other words, God's Word must be the foundation of knowledge in the lives of each and every one of us. Now, with that statement in mind, please go with me to the book of Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And you see in the context, he obviously is referring to the knowledge of God, the Word of God, who and what is God, and His plan, salvation, all of these things. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. Seeing that you've forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. What a horrible thing to think about. Proverbs 18 and verse 15. Proverbs 18 and 15. The heart of the prudent gets knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks truth or seeks knowledge. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. These are the words that Jesus Christ, being tempted by the devil, Matthew 4, 4, Luke 4, 4, quoted this particular verse, Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And he humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he, God, might make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live, is to live, should live. Hopefully, what we are seeing is that there is a choice that must be made in our lives as believers. I also want us to understand that it is the Word of God that lives and abides forever. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, 1 Peter 1 verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, flesh and blood and bone and all of that, but of incorruptible seed, the Spirit changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye at the last trump, once we've been changed, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. I have entitled this message today, Our Lifeline with God, Part 3. Back in Parts 1 and 2, we looked at prayer as being part of our lifeline to God. Now, here in Part 3, we're going to see that personal Bible study is also part of our lifeline with God. You have to have them both. They have to be coupled together. So, we ask, why are there so many people that do not believe or do not appreciate God's Word? I mean, it is the Word of God, the Bible itself, that actually points out the answer to us. Even though the Bible was written down and translated multiple times by different human beings, and I have some bullets here, it is still the Word of God. The second one, it is inspired by God. Go with me to 2 Peter 1, verse 21. 2 Peter 1, verse 21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. The next bullet, Jesus' words, the words that he spoke, are spirit and they are life. And Jesus tells us, I am the Word. And so we understand this. And so he was the personification of the Word of God. He was the living Bible, if you want to put it in that way. It would be kind of awkward to say it that, but that would be a way of seeing it. John 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickens or makes alive. The flesh profits nothing, but the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And then the next bullet is God's words are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. The things of a natural human being walking around, red-blooded American, whatever you want to call it, just a natural everyday man walking around is foolishness to God. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Because you see, brethren, for someone to truly understand God's Word, God must provide spiritual access. In other words, if you're understanding the Word of God, you didn't come up with it on your own. It came from God. The access to it, the wherewithal being able to even understand it, that started with God. He gives us that. I think the question that each one of us needs to ask ourselves here is do we get the point? We need to ask ourselves, what do we really use for our own personal decision-making authority and direction? On a personal basis, what do we use? God's Word, the Bible, must be our foundation for right knowledge. That is truth. We also must understand, brethren, His Word is permanent. This book that we call the Bible, this is permanent. I mean, consider the point that there are so many different Bibles available these days. Have you noticed that? Have you paid any attention to that here recently? So many different Bibles. I mean, there are Bibles designed for business people, for children, for teens, for women, for men, for many other groups. Several years ago, there was a Bible that was called a Green Bible. And obviously, it was printed for those who are the tree huggers, as we would call them. And the thing is, while this might be an effective way to get more people to read the Bible, true believers and serious Bible students need to understand what is being done under the guise, under the appearance of growing interest in the Bible. Because I don't know how many of those Bibles you've actually looked at. You know, we typically use, most of us use the King James Version of the Bible or the New King James Version of the Bible, and we use some of the other alternate ones that are close. But we don't tend to use these Bibles like this for business people or for just for children and, you know, this kind of group that I'm talking about. Because what I'm saying is in these and many other type of translations of the Bible, words, even whole passages are being spun. They are being altered and sometimes even being deliberately changed to manipulate the ideas and the concepts that God wanted to be preserved in Scripture. So here's a Bible newsflash. Here's a warning for all those people who think it's a good idea to put a spin on various passages and manipulate God's words for their own agenda. Some bullets. The word belongs to God. The next one, He inspired it. The next one, He preserved it. The next one, His truth contained in it will not disappear. The next one, His word, the Bible, speaks of its own permanence, its own authority, its own durability. The next one, His word provides its own warnings for those who truly alter it or take advantage of a new believer or even an uninformed reader. There's warnings. Matthew 24 and verse 35. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Revelation 22, verse 18. Revelation 22, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these words, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Now, I don't know about you, but I take that as something that is very serious. God is intent on the fact that He inspired the book to be written down. He preserved it. He's given it to us. He gives us spiritual understanding of it. He doesn't want us messing with it. Therefore, brethren, with this in mind, we need to ask ourselves a question. Is God's Word, the Bible, something we use to obtain the knowledge of God for our own personal lives? I mean, the Bible must be the foundation of our lives. And this applies to every area of our lives. Yet, we need to ask, but is it? Really? Is it? The next bullet, His word needs to be the essence of what we base our lives upon. And the next bullet here is His word needs to be the thing that we truly feed upon. John 6, verse 55, beginning in John 6, verse 55. For my flesh is meat indeed. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And my blood is drink indeed. Obviously, those words He is referring to, the Passover's references to that. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat it manna and died. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickens; the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And those words, his words, are in this book. It's called the Bible. Here, Jesus is telling us as believers today that he is the living bread that is to feed us. The result is, if we do, if we eat upon the bread of Jesus Christ, the Word, the Bible, live by every word that man is given by God. That's what he told us. The result is we can live forever. That's what he told them in this same chapter. It's a little earlier in verse 51. Verse 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And you can put right in parentheses there, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." He gave. He did. This is exactly what he's telling them, but they didn't know it at the time. This is what he's referring to. So the next bullet is, his word needs to be like spiritual food that we internalize into our thoughts and into our minds. Therefore, we need to be spiritually minded. Romans 8, verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit do mind," I'm reading it in, "the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And then right on the heels of that, put in here, look at Philippians 2 and verse 5, Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And brethren, to have the mind of Jesus Christ in us, we have to go to the place where we see his mind, and that place, of course, is the Bible. Our minds need to be renewed every day, and studying his word is what renews the mind. Romans 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The only place that we can have our minds renewed is getting our minds into the book, into the Bible. Personal Bible study. It's the lifeline, along with prayer, to God. Therefore, as we saw recently in two separate sermons, prayer is part of the lifeline to God. Personal Bible study is also part of our lifeline to God. Now, let's see something that is very important about this idea of feeding on God's Word. I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. "But continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, should be every scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It is profitable for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So I think it's pretty clear that we can see these are important verses and understanding why the Bible is so important for our daily spiritual diet. It is providing for us this lifeline to God. We're eating on the words of God. That's what Jesus is telling us. You put all of this together and it's pretty clear. This is what we're being told. So, let's take a look at these verses. At these verses we just read here in 2 Timothy. And let's try to come to a better understanding that the Bible is the basic tool that we are to use in our lives as believers. The first thing we see is that the Word of God is inspired by God. It could be stated that verse 16 is a concise statement for the purpose or purposes of the Bible. I mean, there are other places you can get other words and come to, and it says, oh, the Bible will do this and the Bible. But here it's all together in one place. It says, this is what the Word of God is going to do for you. It's going to do this and this and this and this. And that's what it is saying. That's what it is telling us. And that is what it is telling us. It is to explain His plan of salvation that He has for all of mankind. We just get to know this before the others. So as we look at these verses, we need to realize a better use of the Greek words found here in verse 16 might be something along the lines of every scripture that is inspired by God is profitable for. Now, I'm not going to the concept and showing you that it's not saying every word in the Bible is inspired by God. That is not what that verse is saying. Even though there are people who read it that way. And so we have to live by this. The only problem is the same people who teach that reject so often that Saturday is the Sabbath. Which is really like, well, how do you do this, but you don't do this? You know, and I've asked ministers that, and they go, oh, I've got an appointment. I've had that actually happen before. And, of course, we see the 4 points as profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And, brethren, since our minds are to be filled with God's inspired word, I think it would be profitable for us to try and understand these points. So let's take a look at them. Number one, it says, profitable for doctrine. First of all, let's understand the Greek word that is used here for doctrine simply means teaching. There's nothing fancy about the word. It means the teachings. For us to really understand His doctrine, we will need to study the teachings of God, and that comes through personal daily Bible study. I think we all would agree that to really understand something, a teaching, a doctrine, we need to know it, and that takes study. Point number two is profitable for reproof. Probably a better translation for this word reproof would be the word conviction. In other words, God's words are to convict us. Let me give you some of the synonyms that are used for this same Greek word. What the Greek words is unimportant to me in this particular message. Just from the Greek, this is what we see. But some of the synonyms are condemn, censor, denounce, rebuke, reprimand, reprove, reproach, admonish, castigate, penalize, punish, sentence, and they go on and on. So we get an idea of what is the concept of what is the sense of what is being done here. Now, go with me now to Romans chapter 8. Go with me to Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. Romans 7, verse 7. What should we say? That we're jumping in the middle of a thought here, but this the what follows that I'm really interested in talking about here. Is the law sin? And should not be, God forbid, it should be something along the lines of course not. No, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said that you shall not covet. But sin, taking occasion for the commandment, worked in me all manner of concupiscence or all kinds of different lusts, for without the law, sin was dead. In other words, what we're seeing is we all come to know what sin is through the Word of God, through the Bible. This is what he is telling us here. And therefore, in turn, what happens is the Bible convicts or reproves us. And we begin to realize we're condemned. James 1, verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, in other words, into the book, into the Bible, and continues therein, and the way you continue therein, it has to be every day of our lives to really continue therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work or doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed or in his doing. And then back to that 2 Timothy. The third point is profitable for correction. The Greek word that is used or translated here as correction means, or the usages that we find in this particular Greek word here, it would be correction, it would be reformation, setting straight right again. It is making straight, that is, it is restoring it to its original purpose and condition. Therefore, correction. Referring to something that is correctly, rightly straightened out. That's what he does. And so he's telling Timothy, he says, the Bible, Old Testament, and we can show through other means and other verses and things that it would include the entirety of the Bible, because the New Testament, Peter even refers to part of, in referring to Paul's writings in one place, he says scriptures. So we know that it's talking about the entirety of the Bible. So here we find the only time this Greek word that is used in the Bible, and the word actually means a straightening up again. Now, the word in the King James is referred to, is translated as, it is profitable for correction. A better understanding, the better concept in using the words is, it is a straightening up again. In other words, putting it back on the track that it was intended to be on. This is originally what man was created to do, was to live by every word of God. And we know that from the garden, man got away from that. But this is what the Word of God is to do. It straightens us up again, even though we may not have ever been there. But this is its purpose. It is to do this. So to make this somewhat, I consider to be very simple, God's Word is what will set us straight. I want us to look at a couple of places here, a few places here that shows God's Word setting us straight. So we get the concept, the idea of what I am trying to get across here. John 15, verse 1. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It straightens us up. We produce fruit or we don't. This is what he's saying. Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Proverbs 1:19. I mean, I can talk about every one of these verses, but that's the concept that is being shown in these verses. That we are straightened up. It, the intent of the Bible, the words of God, is to straighten us up again. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse. Okay, I've read that one. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man clean his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. And where do we find the commandments? In the word of God. Your word have I hid in my heart, so that I might not sin against you. Hebrews 12:5. And you have forgotten the exhortations which speaks unto you as unto children. Children, my son, despise not the chastening, that's that same word, of the Lord. It is correction, straightening us up again. Nor faint when you are rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He sets us up straight again. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, the process by straightening us up again the way that God wants us to be, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom his father chastens not? The word there in some translations is the word discipline, and I'll read that in another translation in just a moment. Verse 8, but if you be without chastening, wherewithal shall all you partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh. They corrected us, and we gave them reverence, and for we should do the same for them. Verse 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us. They disciplined us for a few days after their own pleasures. They did it for what they got out of it is what it is saying. But he, God, for our profit, he does it for our good, for our benefit. He straightens us up. We read in the King James, he corrects us. He straightens us up in the original position and the original way that he wanted us to live. And the word of God is where we're seeing what does that. That's where we get it from. We sometimes look at the word correction and it's being, that's a bad thing. And it's not necessarily. It depends on how it's done, what it's done, who's doing it. For humans to do it, yeah, it could be bad. For God to do it, it's good. Please understand, we correct when we're driving in a car. We maneuver, we correct. It's the road is forcing us to go over this way. We need to correct it back. Is that bad or that good? That's good. I think you understand. I mean, so when you see it in that way. Verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In other words, which take the correction, that take the straightening us again in the original position where God wants us to be. And that comes from the Bible. What we're seeing is this, it is out of his awesome love for us that God corrects us. That is, he straightens us up. The point is, He has real concern for us. His desire is to straighten us up. Reading this again, and we'll read this in another train. If you have not yet, Hebrews 12, verses 4 through 7, I'm going to read. Hebrews 12, verse 4 through 7. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Now, the other one said correction. It's the same concept, but we might see it this way more in our human thinking here. Neither faint you when you are reproved of him. After those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines and he scourges every son whom he receives. For it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? This word discipline, I want us to understand, is not the same Greek word that is the word correction. However, I do believe that we see the principle or the sense is the same. Therefore, we need to follow the words of God to straighten us up. That's the point that he's getting across. That's what he's telling Timothy. And we come to number four. It is profitable for instruction in righteousness. That word righteousness could also probably, for our usage today, better be translated as training. Because instruction and training are two different concepts in our words today. I'm going to instruct you how to do this, or I'm going to train you how to do this. There's a different sense. Please go with me to Psalm 119 in verse 172. 119 verse 172. My tongue shall speak, or the word could be, sing of your word. For all your commandments are righteousness. God's inspired word teaches us, trains us what is the right way to live. And that is, in the Bible, is translated as righteousness. So now, after seeing these points, I'd like for us to ask ourselves the question. Why should I study the Bible daily? I think I probably, well, most of us got the point, most of us probably already doing this, but this is more of a refresher than it is anything. But some may be saying, okay, I got the point, I need to be studying more of the Bible. Okay, but why do I need to study it every day? To get a biblical answer, the concept, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy 17. Verse 18, and it shall be when he, the king, sits upon the throne of his kingdom that he should write him a copy of this law and a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. Now, particularly what it's referring to is the book of Deuteronomy, because the book of Deuteronomy is also referred to as the second law or the second law giving. So it has more of the concepts of what a giving in the first four books of the law of how to live the way of life of God. It would mean for us today the entirety of the book of the Bible. And it should be with him. It should be with the king. And he shall read therein some days. It's not what it says, is it? He shall read out of it all the days, or a better translation would be every day of his life. So that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. One of the purposes of the Feast of Tabernacles. That's all one of the major whole purposes of the Feast of Tabernacles. Is that we can learn to fear the Lord our God. And to keep all the words of this law and the statutes and to do them. So he reads out of it every day of his life so that he will fear the Lord, that he will keep the law, that he will keep the statutes and the judgments and all of these things, and he will do them so that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in the kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Wow. We're to be praying and studying. We're to be studying every day out of the book of the law, out of the Bible. That's the whole way of life of God. We're to be doing this every day. One of the purposes of it is so that we will learn to fear God, so that we will keep the commandments, we'll know what they are, and so that we will prolong our days, our lives, and the lives of our children. And the lives of our children. God commanded the king to write himself a copy of the book of the law, and he was to read from that book every day of his life. Verse 20 shows us this was for the purpose of giving the king the correct outlook on himself, and please understand, this was for the purpose of keeping himself humble before God. It isn't that we do all of this Bible study, attention to it, learning and doing all of this every day so we'll know more than anybody else. It's to keep us humble. It's to keep us humble. Through studying the Word of God daily, the king was to use the book in making decisions as he lived his life and as he ruled over God's people. And brethren, we need to understand this daily practice will do the same for us who will be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering, with all long-suffering and doctrine. So we're to do this. This is what it says. Now go to Revelation 5 and verse 10. Revelation 5, 10, verse 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I've said this before. I know many of you have done it. In fact, I know most of you here have heard this, that I've said it before. I think it's a good idea. If you've never written out the book of Deuteronomy, I think it's a good idea to do it. Read out of it every day. Some of you have. Some of you started. That's it. Started. Anyway. So we ask. So what have we seen today? I have this as bullets. We have seen the Bible, the inspired Word of God, is there to help us in living a life that is righteous before God. We can't do it on our own. We can't come to what it is on our own. We have to know what this book says. It's the Word of God. We have to know it. The next one. We have seen the Bible. Without knowing God's teachings, we would not know righteousness that is the right way of life. We have seen, the next bullet, we have seen the Bible convicts us of what is correct. We have seen the Bible corrects us as it is there to straighten us up again. I think maybe an important question that each one of us might want to ask ourselves and consider is, what are we going to do with this information that we've seen today? We got it, so what are we going to do with it? What I pray is for each one of us is that we will study the Bible more. Yes, coupled with prayer, we've already seen that in the points, you know, in 1 and 2. and that we will study it with these points in mind. Now, please go with me to one other place. Please go with me to Proverbs 4, verse 20. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those who find them, and health to all their flesh. The Bible is the inspired word of God, and it is there to convince us, convict us, when we are living contrary to His instructions and His word. The Bible is there to set us up straight again if we do find ourselves off track, or if and when we find ourselves off track. And the Bible is the only place, it's the only place that we can go to learn what is righteous before God. So, brethren, I ask that may God bless each and every one of you in your study of the Word. I mean, after all, along with personal prayer, personal Bible study is a lifeline to God. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, be blessed in your prayer life. Be blessed in your study life. It's the way to the kingdom. It's the way to eternal life in the family of God. God bless you all. We love you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111. Tampa, Florida, 33689.